He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the new week, the new market week on this June 28th with the 4th of July looming out there this Sunday. This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, and we have got a split market this week. You know, I think it's best right now to have some reflation stocks. They led the market last week, and today it's the tech stocks leading the market. So, you know, I guess I'm about 50-50 between the techs and the reflation stocks. And, you know, that's served me well here so far. It was all about reflation last week. By the way, the meaning of reflation stocks is an economy that is being boosted by stimulus by the government and companies that would benefit thereof. And that, you know, highly favors the cyclicals, especially in an infrastructure package like we saw last week. But today it's the tech trade. The NASDAQ is up 92 points to 14,452. And yes, that is a new all-time high for the NASDAQ. Another new all-time high. Will we hit 15,000 before this is all over? We'll see. The Dow, on the other hand, down 137 points. I think there were some spikes of COVID around the world over the weekend. That may be hurting the Dow somewhat. Down 137 to 34,296. The S&P 500 hit a new all-time high on Thursday. It's down 1 point so far here today. The small cap's down 0.4%. Oil down 77 cents. Gold up 290. Let's check in on interest rates. Yeah, there's why tech is up. Interest rates down. Tech is very, very highly sensitive to interest rates these days. The 10-year's down 4 basis points to 1.49. And Bitcoin up $1,380 to $34,410. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Southport Capital, back from Sarasota this week. I had a really good time there last week, and we will be back in Sarasota more than likely sometime in October when everybody else is back in Sarasota, right? Sarasota is kind of like Phoenix. The population ebbs and flows there with the seasons, and we're headed to Minnesota next. We don't have the exact date, but we're looking right around August the 18th, and we will follow the same pattern there with 3 or 4 days of meetings during the day, and we'll do a workshop. And I think the Radisson Blue area with the Mall of America in Bloomington, that's always been a happy place, a happy kingdom to visit, and I think we'll do that again this time around. It's nice for me to get back on the road after a year and a half of COVID, or a year and three months, 15, 16 months of not being able to travel. It's good to see the folks again. Well, let's see, where do we pick up on this new week? This is not a holiday-shortened week. The market will be closed next Monday, and of course the 4th of July is on Sunday. So this is a full week of trading, and I look to be pretty active and busy in the market this week. So I'm just warning all you live trading subscribers that you better not venture too far from your digital devices, as I'm looking to be pretty busy this week in adding some stocks and maybe making a few more changes to my portfolios. I sent out the newsletter Saturday afternoon. It was a busy week in the market. Took a little bit longer than I thought it would. Plus the traveling, cut into some of my newsletter preparation time. But it was a good newsletter, and I really updated my macro outlook which has changed quite a bit over the last 6 to 8 weeks, I would say. And I did make one new buy last week in the portfolios. You can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Still using the old website for that because we've been using it for so long. I don't see any need to change that where you go to get the newsletter. And our nationwide phone number has not changed either. It's still 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. We've got a great team down there in Sarasota, boy. I'll tell you what, I spent several days at that office in Lakewood Ranch, real nice location, away from the hustle and bustle. And you can now make in the, you know, you can make appointments, you know, right there and sit down with an advisor in Sarasota. We, of course, schedule that. We have to match you up with the advisor's time schedules down there in Sarasota. We're all pretty busy these days. But 855-611-BEST will get you an appointment. We always begin with a phone appointment first just to kind of size things up, see where you're at, and then follow up with an in-person appointment down there in Sarasota. Well, the S&P 500 hit a new all-time high last week. That's good news. That happened on Thursday, and then the S&P backed off a little bit on Friday. The big change last week was a reigniting of the reflation trade, which had about a three-day sell-off after the Fed meeting the prior week. And the tech stocks cooled off somewhat last week while that reflation trade came back into vogue. And again, I wrote about reflation in the newsletter over the weekend. Reflation is an economy that is benefiting from a lot of government stimulus. And that certainly would describe what's going on in the economy and in the market right now and the companies that would benefit thereof. And in a reflation trade, it's going to favor more of the companies that are more sensitive to movements in the economy, such as cyclicals, industrials, oil and gas, materials, etc. And we also know that there was a $1 trillion infrastructure package, more stimulus on the way, another package coming behind that. Congress is good at one thing, and one thing only for the most part, spending money, even money that we don't have. So it was the Dow that led the week last week, but the S&P 500 did hit a new all-time high. And let's not forget that on Thursday, the NASDAQ also hit a new high. And guess what? We're following through again with another new all-time high on the NASDAQ today. That's another big part of the newsletter each week. You know, it's really important. I spoke at the workshop about, my valuation criteria. I spoke about my momentum slash performance criteria. And the fine-tuning comes with the technical analysis that I do a lot of on a daily basis. And I told the folks there how I basically narrow my list down every day, companies that meet my criteria. They have to be B-plus ranked or better in my app. That narrows the field down to anywhere from 300 to 1,000, depending on the market. Right now it's up near that 1,000 area because of the strength of the market and the new highs, which makes for a lot more charts to look at on a daily basis, but it's always worth it because the more rocks you look at under the more rocks you look under, the more little potential gems you find. And once I've narrowed that field down, these are stocks that are qualified, okay? They qualify as best stocks now. And then, of course, that fine-tuning comes from looking at the charts. And I went through the 1, 2, 3, 4 simple charting process that I use, determining whether a stock is in a sideways trend, an uptrend, a topping out and rolling over trend, not good, or a downtrend, also not good. Knowing where the stock is at in that cycle, I think, is critical. And in the workshop, I identified what I think is the best place to buy a stock and the place where the biggest red flag goes up that you might want to think about selling the stock. And that helped me a lot in February and March with those high-flying stocks from last year that started to top out and roll over in March and late February. And that was a key for me to give me some selling points. And then at the same time, I saw a lot of stocks coming from the reflation area of the market, also, you know, akin to the value side of the market. I saw a lot of buy points there. We'll talk some more about that. And some good sectors, good stocks now, bad stocks now, bad sectors now. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now radio show with professional money manager, 21 years in the business, Bill Gunderson. Okay, I want to just talk a little bit more about reflation. Let's just look at the leading sectors in the market from last week. Now, if you remember, the week before last week was the big Fed announcement from Jerome Powell. No, they didn't hike interest rates. But they mentioned when the next hike might be. That was a seismic shift in Fed policy because we haven't heard that in years. And that caused a pretty big sell-off, I guess, for fear of maybe stagflation. We know we have some inflation out there. And, of course, hiking interest rates cools off your economy. And would it make the economy stagnant? Well, that was the fear, and the reflation stocks sold off for two or three days, but then they came roaring back last week. So here's some examples of the sectors of the market that I think you should have some exposure to here because we're still getting a heck of a lot of stimulus from the government, from Congress, and from the Fed. Well, the energy sector, number one sector last week, I still think that's a good sector to be in. Now, oil has approached, what, $73, $74 per barrel here, but some are calling for $100 per barrel, and I do have a fair amount of exposure to the energy patch. The energy sector was up 5.8%. We're talking not the alternative energy, not solar, wind, etc., hydrogen fuel cells. No, we're talking traditional energy, I suppose. Oil and gas up 5.8%. Okay, the financials also are considered a reflation type of area of the market because they too are sensitive to the economy. Financials also are very sensitive to interest rates and inflation, mostly interest rates. Now, we have seen interest rates really cool off, and that's what's helping tech. Today you see the 10-year Treasury backing off several basis points. We're under 1.50, and that's going to continue to benefit tech. But don't forget, if those interest rates start to go back up, which to me is the course of least resistance like they did in February, that's going to hurt the high P.E. tech really badly, and then may even start digging down into the low PE tech. But we're having a good day in tech today. I see a very good chart on Apple today, for instance, as interest rates come down. But the financials were up about 5.3% last week. Big rebound in the banks, the credit cards, and fintech. Let's call it financial tech. That includes stocks like PayPal. Oh, and Square and others along that line. Industrials had a big week last week. Now, they're right smack dab in the middle of the reflation trade. And, of course, they also benefited from the infrastructure bill that was agreed upon. Now, it hasn't been passed yet, but it was agreed upon. They have a deal of some sort, and it will be $1 trillion going towards roads and bridges. And so the industrials were up 3% last week. And the last group, well, actually two more groups that really did well last week, the materials, that's the commodities. I still think, you know, we're coming off of COVID. We're getting these mines back up and running. The demand is there. It's not quite met the supply yet. I know iron ore, there's an issue there. There's an issue with copper and some other of the industrial metals. I still like the materials stocks. They were up 2.1% last week. Information technology, which is kind of the hub these days of the tech sector, it was up 2.4% last week and having a good day today with the NASDAQ leading the way today. And the one that really surprised me on Friday, wow, the consumer discretionary. And that was ignited with a match and some lighter fluid by Nike, which just reported a monster quarter. Nike was up like 10%. That's one reason why the Dow had such a big day on Friday. I think it was up 243 or something like that. Nike is a component of the Dow 30. But that move in Nike really ignited the consumer discretionary sector. I saw huge, huge moves. Oh, and stocks like Dick's Sporting Goods, Adidas, Under Armour, Foot Locker, Skechers, Deckers, Big Five Sporting Goods, Lululemon. Man, those stocks had a huge day on Friday. And I've looked at a few of them today, and there seems to be some movement there today. I looked at a few early ones here. Aaron's Rents would be one that has a good chart here today. So those were the sectors that led the market last week, and I think they're going to be the sectors that will continue to lead the market going forward, and if you're interested in hearing my opinion on that. We had the bad news is, and I think probably one of the reasons why the Dow is down today, there was a spike in COVID globally. And there have been some variants, obviously, the Delta variant being the biggest one. But so far, from what I've heard, the existing vaccines handle the Delta variant without any problems. But the spike in COVID-19 cases weighed on the global stock markets. You had mostly Asia and Europe were down yesterday, last night. And I think that's hurting our Dow a little bit. Now, speaking of the materials, iron ore rises as China port stockpiles slide to 8-month lows. You know, there's a lot of factors that influence the market, isn't there? Somebody's over there measuring or weighing the Chinese portside stockpiles of iron ore. How would you like to have that job? Maybe they just eyeball it. You know, look, yeah, there's not as much iron ore as there was here 6 months ago, 8 months ago. But anyways, I mean, that's helping. That's going to help stocks like Rio and BHP and Vail. Vail had a very good week. It's been threatening to break out to new highs. Cleveland Cliffs, the steel stocks, you know, like U.S. Steel, etc. So anyways, that's one other factor to take into consideration. The stockpiles of iron ore at the Chinese ports. Spot iron ore prices in China have stayed above $200 per ton over the last 4 weeks, despite efforts by Chinese authorities to tamp down a high-price market. So I think the material sector is still a favorable sector to be in. It's helped by several things. The supply-demand equation is out of whack right now, and you've got inflation wafting through the air. Now, when we come back, are we looking at a Bitcoin death cross? What is a Bitcoin death cross, Gunderson? Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. and a whole lot more. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the best stocks now, best digital currencies now. I don't know about that. Radio show. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. I did some major updates to my macro outlook here recently. There's been several things happen in the market that have changed that number quite a bit. That's the earnings estimates for this year, 2022. The earnings estimates for next year, 2023. And the earnings estimates for 2024. And as I've said many times, that has been the best, very best indicator for me over the years to help me be a bull since 2009, with only a few times when I went cautious along the way. And it allowed me to go all in last March and make a pretty gutsy call because I was looking beyond COVID at the earnings estimates, future earnings estimates. Again, I think that's the very best indicator of all. If you want to see what my current macro outlook is, you know what? I've said this many times, you can be the best stock picker in the world. And if the macro or the market is not going in your favor, forget about it. Because, you know what, 85% of the stocks, something like that, follow the market. They're correlated. They're correlated to the market. The market goes nowhere, most of the market goes nowhere. The market goes down, most of the stocks go down. The market goes up, most of the stocks go up. That's why the macro outlook is so critical. And, again, you can get that in my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. We had a lot of requests for the newsletter this past week. That's good. The word's getting out. I'm glad. GundersonCapital.com. Now, earlier this year, we had a death cross. Now, let me see when it was exactly. Yeah, it was in early January. There was a death cross in the bond market. You can use several ETFs as proxies there for the bond market. I kind of like TLT because TLT is the long bond and it reacts more quickly to changes in interest rates. It actually did a death cross back in October. The 10-year did a death cross in late November. And the bond market, the aggregate bond market, which would include all of your corporates and munis, etc., it did a death cross in January. So November, December, January, you had three big bond asset classes do the death cross. A death cross is when the 50-day moving average crosses below the 200-day moving average. That's not pretty. That's not pretty at all. It happens in indexes, it happens in stocks, it happens in asset classes, it happens in sectors, it happens in charts of interest rates, of GDP, all kinds of different things, okay? It's very common, crossover. And conversely, you get a golden cross to the upside. Gold was threatening to do a golden cross here earlier this year or fairly recently, and then it petered out, never did quite make it there. But the one that's threatening to do a death cross to the downside right now, you can look at GBTC, which is the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. The 50-day has been pointing down since mid-April. So for 2 months, the 50-day has been pointing down, while the 200-day has just really slowly been rising. So in other words, those two are converging, and they continue to converge, and it wouldn't take much more. I mean, give it three or four more weeks, and you could see a death cross to the downside in the Bitcoin trust, which would also, obviously tie in with the Bitcoin itself. Now, Bitcoin is getting a little boost today. It's up like 1,300 or so. But that's still a very, very weak chart on Bitcoin. I bring that up because I know a lot of people are interested in that asset class. You know, like a few years ago, several years ago, the number one question I was asked at my workshops and in emails from people was about the weed stocks, the cannabis stocks. And I warned about them. They haven't done very well. They've done terrible. Been a very poor place to be invested because they're not profitable. And I said that right from the start. It's going to be very hard to be profitable and to grow those earnings consistently over the years because you're dealing with a commodity where there's a lot of supply right now. Well, I feel the same way about Bitcoin. You know, that's what I get asked about the most these days. If I sit down, at a counter at a restaurant next to somebody and we start talking, strike up a conversation, they find out what I do. The first question is, what do you think of Bitcoin? I don't like it. Okay, and I see maybe a death cross coming on there. Consumer sentiment cools a little from the earlier June print. That's the University of Michigan. That's the one that most of us look at. There's still a lot of stimulus sloshing around, and I certainly saw pretty strong consumer sentiment in that Nike report on Friday. And I saw just a huge day for the consumer sentiment stocks. We own one or two, maybe three or four. And Dick's Sporting Goods broke out to a new all-time high on Friday. You still have the meme stock trade going on. They've kind of turned their focus on space, the next frontier. Virgin Galactic. When is that stock going to be profit? When is that stock going to be like an airline where they're booking trips every week to the moon, you know, or to Mars or whatever? Virgin Galactic was up 34% on Friday. That's the Reddit gang. That's the Wall Street Bets. They look for short interest. There's a lot of short interest in Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic. The symbol is space, SPCE, and the Reddit gang is playing it. That's another area that I don't really recommend you get involved with, because they completely throw valuation out the window. 100% value, well, maybe not 100%. They try to make an excuse as to why GameStop's worth $200 or wherever it's trading. It's really worth about $15 to $20. They had the big stress test on last week, the U.S. banks. Well, it's good to know that all 23 banks participating in the test made it through the stress test. Now, this is something they've been doing since the 2008, you know, since the 2008 financial crisis. Inflation remains in a hot subject, very hot subject. Bank of America believes inflation will remain higher for up to 4 years. What about that? I mean, that's Merrill Lynch, right? Michael Hartnett, one of Bank of America's top strategists, believes that inflation will continue to stay in the 2 to 4% range for the next 2 to 4 years. Well, I watched TIP. TIP is the inflation adjusted bond. I haven't seen a big move in TIP, like there's huge expectations of inflation. But it seems to me that the inflation trade continues to be a big place to be parked right now. The one other group that caught my eye on Friday, I noticed a really nice bump higher in Alibaba for the first time in a long time, okay? And then I said, well, what about some of the other Chinese stocks? And I looked at Tencent Holding, and I looked at JD.com, and I looked at PDD. and others. And I said, wow, they all had a really nice bump on Friday. I don't see it following through today. But take note that FXI, which is the Chinese stock ETF, the large cap ETF of Chinese stocks, also had a very good move on Friday. So I'm just saying, you can put that on your watch list. A lot of those Chinese stocks jumped through their 50-day moving averages on Friday, and definitely worth a look here. The Chinese market right now is cheaper. Our P.E. ratio on the day that the S&P hit a new high on Thursday went to over 30 for the first time in a long, long time. And the Chinese market is cheaper right now. So we're going to watch that Chinese market. We made a lot of money in it last year. And there is money to be made, but you got to kind of watch the timing there. All right, we'll be back with our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now show. You got to go where you want to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Full week of trading this week. I look to be pretty busy in the trading pits this week. Next Monday, week from today, we get a day off in this business. It'll be July the 5th, and we'll have that exciting 4th of July weekend. We started off this week. Not much change since we started the show. The Dow's down 145 as the reflation trade backing off after leading the market last week. What was the number one sector last week? The oil and gas sector. What's the worst performing sector today? The oil and gas sector. I think that has something to do with the spike in COVID around the world over the weekend, and that sent a lot of the international exchanges and indexes down last night as they open quite a bit earlier than our markets open. And you're seeing a rebound in the tech trade. And, you know, here's the deal. I mean, that's a good hedge to have right now. That's a good combination. Because when the reflation trade sells off, it kind of goes down with interest rates. As interest rates go down, you're seeing interest rates back off to 1.47 today. That boosts the tech stocks. And that's why biggest reason you're seeing the tech stocks up today. They are just hyper sensitive right now to interest rates, just as the inflation trade, reflation trade, is also hypersensitive. It wants interest rates moving higher, and the tech stocks want interest rates moving lower. So you got both sides of the street covered by having a little combination thereof. But definitely the worst performing sector out there today, I would say the gold, precious metals, the materials, and the oil stocks, which, by the way, led the market last week. And then I'm looking at some pretty good charts in Apple, Adobe, Autodesk, AMD, all the usual suspects from the tech sector. All right, well, I mentioned on Friday that there was an excellent day in the consumer discretionary. Okay, that's different from consumer staples. Consumer staples are toothpaste, you know, and mouthwash and deodorant, things like that. And consumer discretion, because discretionary are things you could live without, a brand new pair of Nikes, you know, and things like that. But the consumer discretionary was just on fire on Friday. And the match that lit the fuse was Nike's big earnings report. Nike broke out with a vengeance on Friday. And I still say there's a lot of discretionary stimulus money sloshing around, which is also part of the reflation trade. And I've said all along that I think a lot of the lower end retailers today, I saw, for instance, Aaron Rents having a good day. Well, I'm seeing a lower-end furniture retailer that we own in our emerging growth portfolio having a good day. This stock is less than $1 billion in market capitalization, so it's a small to micro cap stock. It is headquartered in the furniture capital of the world, Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, I guess that, and Thompsonville, North Carolina, and others. Well, we've got you've got to meet three different criteria for me to own a stock. Number one, the valuation's got to come in. You got to have 80% or more upside potential as far as valuation goes. That narrows down the list quite a bit. You know, we begin with a database of 6,000, roughly. It's got to be narrowed down as far as relative strength. This one is currently a 90 on a scale of 1 to 99 in the Investor's Business Daily or Market Smith way of measuring relative strength. And it's got to have a nice favorable stock chart. I especially like a breakout out of a sideways trend. You're getting all three today in Haverty Furniture. Oh, boy, there's an exciting one. Sofas, you know, recliners, you know, this kind of thing. But that's where a lot of that extra money is sloshing around, a lot of that stimulus money. And Haverty has done pretty darn good here. Let's just compare the last 12 months versus the market. It's up 171% while the market's up 38%. You might say, well, that's taking all the value out of it. Not really. The PEG ratio is 0.79, less than 1. It's trading at a discount to its growth rate. Forward PE is 10. The growth rate is 13. That gives you a PEG ratio of 0.8. An 86% upside potential on the stock from my valuation formula with no guarantees going forward. And that price-to-sales ratio, which is seemed to be pretty important this year when the market turns back to the reflation trade, which it's not, that's not a favorable place to be, but all last week it was the best place to be. And before the Fed announcement, from February till June, it's been the best place to be. Haverty Furniture's got a price-to-sales ratio of under 1 at 0.91. Now, we own this in our most aggressive portfolio. And when we sat down with folks in Sarasota, you know, we talked about the whole range. We have a whole toolkit, you know, from the bond fund, which is pretty static, but it also has done really well with capital appreciation here. That's kind of our non-correlated asset class. We talked about other things that, you know, I have my availability to that I didn't have availability to before that are down in the conservative range of things, more of a preservation of capital type of thing. Now, with Haverty Furniture, we're at the emerging growth portfolio. That's the most aggressive of the aggressive. And a lot of people have just a little bit of that in their portfolio. And some aggressive people that are using us for their most aggressive portion of their portfolio also, you know, have quite a bit in that emerging growth portfolio, which has done quite well since I created it. Well, the best place to start with us is the newsletter. I've been putting it out every weekend for the last 21 years. There's lessons in there. There's macro outlooks. There's technical analysis, lessons on technical analysis. There's the portfolios that I manage. You can get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. And if you've been listening to me for a long time, you say, you know, I want to talk to those guys. They sound like they're pretty good at what they do, guys and gals. You can call us at our 800 number, 855-611-BEST, toll-free nationwide, 855-611-BEST. One more time, 855-611-BEST. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.